This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. Rabia here, and I'm here with Susan. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rabia.
How you doing?
Having the most boring December of my life, but it's for the best.
It's for the best. Boring is good right now. That's better than it being eventful in ways we don't want.
That's true, but yeah. It's going to be a really weird holiday season.
Are you going to be able to see any family or just you and hubby?
I'm in Atlanta, so I've seen no one since I've been here, and I'll see the family for Christmas, but we're going to try and keep that minimal.
You're doing that quarantine thing beforehand.
Yep.
Yeah, we had, just for our listeners, and I haven't talked about really this publicly, but we did have a little COVID scare in our family. My eldest daughter tested positive a couple of weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, quarantined for 18 days. We all quarantined. Everybody's fine. But
it was scary, though.
I mean, it's scary. It's like it feels like we dodged a bullet. I mean, because we had been around her. She's been part of our pod. You know, we see her every weekend and she lives alone. So it was scary. But thank God we did dodge a bullet. But now it's like, got to hunker down. Got to hunker down. All right. So let's start where we do at COVID. We hit another really terrible milestone yesterday, a new high in COVID deaths. 3,518 people died in a single day from COVID. Yesterday, we have reached over 300,000 deaths in the country. To be more specific, 307,552 deaths as of yesterday. And we are at about 17 million confirmed cases in the United States. And everywhere, the numbers are just exploding. Let's see. Now, on the flip side, the good news is that last Friday, the FDA did issue an emergency approval of the Pfizer vaccine. This week, they will be, in fact, today, as we record, it's Thursday, they'll be meeting to decide whether or not they're going to issue a similar emergency approval for the Moderna vaccine. And there are some differences here. Moderna apparently is much easier to transport. It doesn't require super cold storage temperatures and stuff to store it. So it would be easier. It's got a like 90 in the third phase clinical trials, like a 94% effective rate. But it should be noted that this, if approved, this would be the first vaccine Moderna's ever had approved. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh,
yeah. They're a private company. And based out of Massachusetts, and yeah, they just have never had a vaccine approved before. But also, they've never had a vaccine get to a third phase trial, so maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not suggesting anything nefarious with their product, but I didn't know that before, so.
Yeah, well, it's great news. I mean, yay, the vaccine's here, but it would have been nice if we'd had lower numbers for it to get here, because now, I mean, all the deaths are baked in over the next couple of months, and this vaccine cannot stop that.
Yeah, the deaths are baked in. And the crazy thing is that even so, this administration actually tried harder to kill us, because just this week there was a political report saying that that they found out that in July, a top advisor to Health and Human Services, Paul Alexander, top science advisor, wrote a memo. And according to the officials who reported this to Politico, they said that this memo and its recommendations had the backing of Trump and the administration. In the memo, he basically was like, we need herd immunity. That what we're doing is, this is what he said, quote, infant kids, teens, young people, young adults, middle age with no conditions have zero to little risk. So we use them to develop herd. We want them affected. It might be best if we open up and flood the zone and let the kids and young folks get infected.
Flood the zone. My God.
Now, you know, Trump had been talking about, he didn't call it herd immunity. He called it herd mentality. Remember that? A long time ago. Yeah, but this was, you know, and I think in many ways, without actually doing it, that's kind of like what they were trying to do, right? Without actually doing it, they're like, oh, we're not going to like enforce any kind of national mandates. We're not going to urge anything that could mitigate this.
Well, it sounds like what
they
were encouraging is more than that. Like what they're, it's more than just like passively letting it kind of expand. He's saying flood the zone, like encouraging them. He's like actually trying to fast forward it.
Yeah. When that didn't fly, and horrified some folks. They did back off. But apparently, the House Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis has been holding hearings on the administration's response. And in this hearing, it emerged that the CDC director, Robert Redfield, had instructed staffers to delete an email from the same advisor, Alexander, the one who had urged the immunity. So Redfield told his staffers to delete the email from the system. And when one of the staffers went to do it, she found it had already been deleted. And now the concern is that, you know, if this happened at least this one time, they know for sure that there might be a deliberate effort by the Trump administration to conceal and destroy evidence of meddling in the pandemic response. This particular email wasn't actually about the herd immunity. It was basically, so Alexander, along with urging herd immunity, also been trying very hard to kind of change language and reporting, trying to make Trump look good, trying to like change how the facts were being reported through the CDC. So really just trying to interfere with the agency and trying to control the reports. So that's what this email apparently was about. And I wonder if Redfield was instructed to instruct the staff to delete it. I don't know. But anyhow, they're digging in it.
He wouldn't have to be, probably. I mean, it's his own reputation on the line here. I mean, that's going to be the tip of the iceberg. I suspect that's going to be a common storyline starting about January 21st that we're going to hear for much of 2021. Yeah. Because, yeah, they're going to try. I mean, obviously, there'll be a new admin coming in, and they'll be able to see what was happening. And a lot of that stuff, they will not want out there for sake of their own reputations once they're gone.
But it's only like reputations. There won't be any like culpability, it feels like. No civil or criminal culpability for this.
I mean, depends what's up there. I mean, we'll see what's out there when Biden gets in, I guess.
Okay, I know this is like maybe not the kind of upside we want to talk about in COVID times, but I gotta say, I'm actually experiencing like some of the best hair I've ever had during this pandemic, and it's so crazy.
Well, that is good for you, because I absolutely am not.
You absolutely are not, but there's a reason I am. It's not for nothing. I mean, it's because I have been taking Nutrafol for the past 3 months. And I want to talk a little bit about this. This is important. Look, about 80 million people in the United States, men and women, experience thinning hair. I have friends who do. I have experienced it, especially at certain times when it's stressful, after I had a baby, stuff like that. It's not talked about very openly. So it can feel kind of embarrassing, really, for a lot of people. And that just makes it even worse. But you can take charge of your hair growth and make the next few months your time to grow thicker, fuller, healthier hair. And I swear to you, Susan, this is absolutely 100% true.
I'm so on this train. I need this on right now.
Well, listen, this morning I was looking at my hair and I was like, I'm not even kidding. I was like, is it almost down to my waist? I have had a growth spurt.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not even kidding. I've had a growth spurt just in the last few months. I'm 46. I should not be having growth spurts in my hair. But I have never taken a hair vitamin for until I started Nutrafol a few months ago.
Well, my hair is really mad at me because I've just ignored it, and it's probably got a million tangles. And when COVID's over, I'm going to be in real trouble. People are going to see me again, and we got to fix that.
Yes. I have bad news. We will all have to go back into public soon again.
Oh, so you no.
Nutrafol. Yeah, Nutrafol is formulated with potent botanicals that helps you grow your hair as strong as you are. And it's physician formulated. It's 100% drug free. So it's natural. It's clinically effective botanicals. And I'm not even kidding. It works.
I'm getting my post-COVID self ready with the Nutrafol.
Yep. Here's what you got to do. You got to go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. And you take their hair wellness quiz, and they will customize product recommendations for you. And then you subscribe, so you get monthly deliveries and you never miss a dose. It's great.
You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using the promo code 45th to get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere. Plus free shipping on every order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com, promo code 45th.
It's their best offer anywhere. Again, 20% off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, with the promo code 45th for hair as strong as you are. On the vaccine front, by the way, I do want to say that I don't know what exactly is going on. Like, people can't really tell if this is a political thing or something else is happening. Apparently, just yesterday, Governor Pritzker, who is the governor of Illinois, said that he was informed by the feds yesterday that only half of the promised vaccines for the U.S. will be shipped over the next 2 weeks. Apparently, the states have been told that they'd be getting over 8 million doses per week for the next 2 weeks. All 50 states will be getting 8 million doses per. And then on Wednesday, they got an update from HHS saying only 4.3 million vaccines would be shipped. Michigan officials yesterday said that the feds are cutting the COVID vaccine supplies next week by nearly 30%, 29%. So, but there's literally no why behind it. So, you know, it doesn't seem to be a supply issue necessarily. Like, there's no indication in the reports at Pfizer that they're having trouble in the actual supply chain. So I don't know what's happening there.
However, I mean, the messaging from like Fauci and everyone is still first two quarters of 2021, but by then we should have enough to get us through. I mean, it's not going to happen before then.
Yeah, but people have started getting it, and people have started getting the vaccine. I know health professionals, people in my own social circles who have begun getting it.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah. Pence and his wife have said that they would get it live from the White House. When asked about Trump, Kayleigh McEnany told reporters he's open to taking the vaccine, but he's not priority because he already had the virus. Okay.
He also, apparently, the treatment that he had, the specialized one that all the muckety-mucks get, if you've had it, you are not to get the vaccine for 90 days because it can interfere with it, apparently.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, certainly if that was the right course for him, that's what doctors would be advising him, but I guess it's not right now. What's going on with Giuliani? I haven't heard from this man like since last week.
He survived. He made it out somehow.
Damn it.
I mean, he finally caught it. Like, I don't even understand how it took so long.
Yeah.
But he again got top of the line treatment and survived.
I haven't seen any reporting on who he gave it to yet. Because you know this man, like, spread that love around. But I haven't seen
everywhere.
Anything. Yeah,
I
haven't seen anything.
I also, just pointing out, both Giuliani and Trump spent much of the pandemic promoting hydroxychloroquine, and both got the COVID, and neither took it. So,
shocking. Absolutely shocking. Not only that, but I remember, I do remember that at the end of somewhere around the end of last week, Giuliani, I don't know if he was giving an interview or what, but he said, oh, it's actually not that bad. You know, you get it, you get over it. We have great care. People will be just fine. And in the
say
meantime,
that to the head of security for the White House.
Oh my God, right. I saw that report. The head of security, this guy, isn't he getting his foot amputated or something?
He's already had it amputated. Yeah, some toes and then his right foot and part of the leg.
I didn't even know that was a thing that could result from COVID.
They're so cavalier about it, and the people around them have been severely ill. Luckily, no one died, just by chance more than anything.
Yeah. So, Fauci did say yesterday during an interview that he thinks that by mid-fall of 2021, the U.S. will probably return to some semblance of normality as long as we get between 75 to 85% of the population inoculated. That's a lot of people.
That is.
It's possible. You will, again, still have those people who will fight it. But, you know, if it's the kind of thing that becomes, for example, mandated because if you want to fly, you have to be vaccinated. If you want to go to school, you have to be vaccinated. If you want to be part of a sports team, you got to be vaccinated. Then maybe that'll be what does it.
I do. I have a lot of concerns there. It is interesting to see that the surveys they've had suggest that the, you know, refusal rate is not going to be as high as feared. But it's also hard to, like, reconcile. I know Twitter and social media is not real, but there's so much, like, aggressive, I'm not taking that commentary going on Facebook especially. Like, on Facebook news sites, like, they'll have, like, just a flood of comments, well, like, I'm not taking it. Who would take it? Don't take it. And that, I guess, from the opinion poll seems to be an outlier, but, like, God, there are a lot of people online who say they're not taking it for those numbers to be real.
Listen, I know people. My own husband has said, I'm not going to take the first round of it. I'm like, all right, get out of the way, I'll do it.
Well, you're not allowed to get anyway, so.
Right. I mean, so exactly. Like, we would be so far down the road anyways. But
I volunteer as tribute. Anyone got a spare vaccine laying around? Save I'll take it off your hands.
Same
Don't
here.
Worry.
I'll do it. I'll do it live. I'll live stream it. Yeah, no, I've heard it not just from him, but I've heard it from other people too. You do also hear it more, I have heard it more from like certain communities that have, that have suffered at the hands of like medical experimentation because of racism and stuff. So I can understand the fears there. and the mistrust of, like, are we getting the same vaccine as anybody else? But look, I got, I know not everybody's on the socials, but a lot of our older folks, I mean, like, they're connected, if nothing else, through, like, WhatsApp and emails and stuff. They still forward all this crazy stuff to each other. And I got forwarded a video from an uncle who got it from somebody in Pakistan. And it was a video, I kid you not, of a man on a bike. He had, like, this cooler strapped to the back of his bike, not even a motorbike, like a bike. And the back of the cooler in Urdu script said Pfizer COVID vaccine. And he pulled out like a syringe and gave some guy on the street,
oh God,
like a shot. So,
oh God.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe, you know, it was an ultra cold backpack cooler.
I think this is going to happen too. There will be people scamming people saying this is the vaccine and injecting them with things that'll probably make them very sick. That's problematic. All right. That's where we're on the COVID stuff. This is, like, I think, big news. Well, do we want to talk about Bill Barr? It was kind of such a blip.
I mean, yes, because it's important to point out, like, what seems to have definitely happened here is that Barr was quit fired by Trump.
Right. I haven't landed yet. I don't know where it is.
I think it's mutual, because it seems like Trump was, well, one, disappointed that Barr didn't make his Hunter investigation or whatever public before the election, but also that Barr isn't pushing forward with it now. Mm-hmm. Trump's plan seems to be to basically dump as many special counsel investigations as he can on Biden, or perhaps even, like, have Hunter or others in Biden's family arrested. That seems to be where he's trying to make this go. And for Barr, that was no return for him on that plan. So he backed mm-hmm. down and he was kicked out, but nicely kicked out. For Trump world, it was a nice, like,
right,
nice tweet out for him.
Yeah, it was gentle, considering although leading up to it, he had said many times that he was disappointed and this and that. And but then the actual way it went down, or at least it was tweeted out, was that, oh, we had a very nice meeting. He'll be leaving home for the holidays. And I guess
spend more time with family.
Yeah.
And I mean, compared to how Jeff Sessions was kicked out, you know, Barr came out okay, unfortunately.
The question is,
what can he do now with his acting appointee? And are they I don't think he has the political capital in DOJ to force an arrest. What he can do is force enough investigations where there'll have to be some kind of possibly special counsel set put in to do whatever they're doing with the Hunter Biden stuff.
I did read some report on the last few days that Stephen Miller has been calling around, and, like, people have been calling around to try to identify people who could be special counsel.
Stephen Miller doesn't have enough on his plate with, like,
between him and Kushner, they're, like, running the government. Yeah. They're running the whole government, him and Kushner. I guess, you know.
Oh, my God, it's me, Ken Starr.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Ken Starr, he's been popping up. Didn't he just testify to a hearing yesterday?
He's been popping up a bunch, yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's,
he's going to come
back. Oh, boy.
Back.
What's old is new again, we'll see.
Well, the reason he popped up yesterday, and we can, like, move on to this conversation, is because he testified at a hearing about the election, about whether or not there was fraud in the election, about whether or not this election was stolen. Now, in case you missed it, and I'm guessing most of you did not, last Friday, the Supreme Court very unceremoniously just drop-kicked the Texas lawsuit, the big one. The one that, like, what, 18 or 20 other states joined?
And, like, 100-plus members of the GOP in Congress?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it was... And so, can you explain a little bit to our listeners what this lawsuit was predicated on? Like, what were they trying to do here? Because I've never seen anything like this before, I don't think.
You know, I still didn't bother to get into the details of what Trump's, like, theory for why he should be able to shoehorn in there. But the general idea was that it was original jurisdiction for the Supreme Court, meaning they could go straight to SCOTUS, not
right. When there's a dispute between the states,
yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
How it works.
So in Texas, there's a dispute with Georgia. They can go straight to Supreme Court, not deal with the, you know, the courts along the way. And in this case, Texas is suing Georgia and, like, what? Who else? Michigan and Wisconsin, maybe? Basically, Texas was saying, we don't like the way you did your election, so you should have to overturn the results. It was banana cakes all around.
And that's not a dispute between the states. That's not how that works.
Yeah, that there was in the courts, like, well, two of them, Alito and Thomas, of course, were like, well, we'd let them in the door and then presumably kick them out. But
right.
No, this was never going anywhere. I'm kind of surprised that he didn't start tweeting angrily about his Supreme Court picks. But I guess even he knows that would be disastrous for his hopes later on. I mean, like, the
later
the
where? Are all, like, what's left, man? Like,
who where's knows? He his 2024 run, he's going to announce on, like, January 20th. I mean, the lawsuits are all not the point, because they're all absurd. They're just all nonsense. But the real danger is the fact you've got that many members. Like, you got most of the GOP in the House signed onto this thing.
Line up behind it, tons of
attorney general. Like, yeah, it's... Oh, not to mention, of course, you got the whole issue with what's-his-face in Texas, who's facing several, the attorney general there, what's his name? He's facing several potential federal charges, and of course, right. There's talk that, like, this is like a...
He's under pardon. Active investigation, and he's the one who brought the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either. I mean,
the legal stuff is not even worth the worry about, because it's all nonsense, but, like, what is concerning is that this is so pervasive, and, like, it's, like... I'll check on his tweets once
in a while. And performative, right? It's performative, right? So, but this is what I don't understand, Susan. Honestly, I don't understand it. Like, now he is lamer than a lame duck, okay? Like, you know, this is, if the GOP ever had a chance to get out from under this man's shadow, like, this is it. The people have spoken. Lawsuits have been...
They don't want out.
That's the thing. Why? Why are you poisoning your own party? You have destroyed your own party because of this man. And why?
Because
you can still save it.
Because of their, like, it's primaries. His base are the crazy primary voters. And if they want to survive primaries later on, they got to stay on the Trump train. That's why they even, like, I mean, even McConnell has to, like, gently kind of nudge people. Like, yes, well, looks like we have a new administration coming in. Did he even, yeah, he even used the word president-elect and congratulated Biden.
Finally.
I mean, because McConnell, like, has no personal love for Trump. That's not where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. But he knows that, like, his party depends on keeping his base on board and in line, which means kissing the ring. Of course, apparently today in Georgia, Tuberville, the new senator elected from Alabama, is saying that he is going to disregard McConnell's wishes and try and oppose the electors when they come in to certify the vote on the 6th of January. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. Like, Ron Johnson was, like, the lead candidate for senator's gonna muck everything up, and he seemed to be backing off of it.
Okay.
And we could be up for some drama still on the 6th.
Well, 3 days ago is when the electors cast their votes. I mean, like, in certain, I think in Michigan, they had to make some of this virtual because there were threats to different state houses, and they're like, well, we can't let the electors show up here because people are trying to, like, the militias are trying to storm it. So they had to do this virtually. And of course, Biden won again. And that's what finally forced Mitch McConnell's hand to say, well, you know, he gave a nice little speech on the floor and he kind of like, oh, Trump did this for us and he did this for us and he did this for us. But it should be noted that his acknowledgement of Biden's win came after Putin's acknowledgement, by the way. January 6th, I guess, is the next hurdle. But Trump is not. Look, just yesterday, CNN reported that officials are saying that Trump now is really deep in the weeds. He is 100% believing that the election was stolen. And he has told advisors, he's telling advisors, I'm just not going to leave on January 20th. I will not leave the White House.
That, honestly, would be almost worth watching. I mean, the scary fears involve him doing things like trying to mobilize the actual federal government. But him just, like, staying there in the House is pretty hilarious. In terms of long-term damage, that's the least, yeah.
But his power to mobilize will be gone on January 20th, right? Like, anything that's done after that, it's gone. So it can only work until Biden is sworn in.
But he could try and cause more problems in advance. Like, well, then again, of course, he's sitting there trying to, tweeting out he's going to veto defense spending bill, which...
Right.
I mean, he already has it, so if he's going to veto it, why not go ahead and veto it? But... so there, like, he could just try and tank the whole government to try and screw with Biden, which he may still do, either intentionally or otherwise.
He would totally do that. I mean, that's like so on brand for him.
Him just not leaving the building would be pretty funny. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know
that's not the damage here. That's like the problems we're facing. Like, Biden will be sworn in. Biden will be the new president. That's not the problem. The problem is that his base is now firmly convinced, not even this base, like the Republican Party, is firmly convinced that the election is not legitimate. I mean, just going forward to the country where you can't keep that up. That's just not going to work. So if anything, him throwing a tantrum and being like bodily hauled out of the White House, maybe that would help shake his some of his followers loose.
Listen, there's a Twitter thread that if you haven't read, you definitely should read this, Susan, and others too. It's by this guy named Tommy Ahonen. That's spelled T-O-M-I. Ahonen is A-H-O-N-E-N, and that's just basically his handle, his whole name. And it's a huge thread called The Final Installment in the White House Trilogy. After Olympus Has Fallen, after White House Down, remember those films, comes Bunker Boy. And then he narrates what this final film in the trilogy.
The final showdown.
Oh, yeah. It's actually an incredible read. And I'm like, I actually can see all of this happening. But it ends with, basically, I'm just going to spoil it. It ends with Trump down in the bunker and Biden upstairs in the Oval Office saying, listen, just let us know when you're ready to surrender. So, you know, let's see. I don't know. I think, you know, at some, you know, everybody's going to leave. The staff is going to leave. We're going to leave. I don't know what he is thinking, but.
Okay. So say he does leave. He gets bodily hauled out. He tries to hold on to Resolute and he can't. Little stubby hands won't grip it. So they just pull him out and slide him out the door. Where does he go then?
Mar-a-Lago. I mean, where's he going to
go? Guess what? That's the new drama that I'm enjoying. Mar-a-Lago is zoned only as a club. It cannot be used as a resident. That's the agreement that he had when he acquired it and when he started the club there. And there are people who are now preparing to enforce it that he cannot live there or Mar-a-Lago loses club status.
That's interesting.
So,
well, he's got plenty of properties. He'll move into a condo in one of his high rises or something.
I mean, I'm sure he'll find somewhere.
And apparently Ivanka and her husband have already they just bought some property on some island, a very exclusive island somewhere. I mean, they're already making their plans. They're heading out of town. All right, I want to talk about this really, really big story that broke this week. And that's about this huge, huge hack that intelligence community is saying definitely has Russia behind it. I first heard of this when Richard Blumenthal, senator from, where is he from, Connecticut or something? Tweeted, stunning. Today's classified briefing on Russia's cyber attack left me deeply alarmed. In fact, downright scared. Americans deserve to know what's going on. Declassify what's known and unknown. Okay, so, and then on Sunday, apparently, the administration acknowledged that hackers acting on behalf of a foreign government, they didn't say who, but it's almost certainly a Russian intelligence agency, broke into a range of key government networks, including Treasury, Commerce. But it's way bigger than that. An op-ed written yesterday in the New York Times by Thomas Bossert, who was a Homeland Security advisor to Trump, said, basically, we are being hacked. And it's kind of incredible how far-reaching this hack is and that it's ongoing.
It seems so huge, it's kind of hard to comprehend. And it's the kind of hack that you don't come back from. Like, they're not just like, they didn't just get in and get data. They got in and made themselves comfy.
The way it worked is this would happen. So there's a cybersecurity firm called FireEye. Most of its clients include the United States government, but a lot of government clients. They have a software they use called SolarWinds. That software was hacked. And so the people who hacked it, the attackers gained access to the software before updates were made that could have prevented it. So all the customers then downloaded a corrupt version of the software. It had a hidden backdoor. This is apparently called a supply chain attack. And it takes apparently years to execute something like this. And they're almost always, according to the intelligence community, the product of a nation state. So it said in that same op-ed, the number of organizations that downloaded the corrupted update could be as many as 18,000, which includes most federal government unclassified networks and more than 425 Fortune 500 companies. And they are there. They're parked in it. So it's not like it's been discovered and they can purge it. There is absolutely no way to know what networks right now the Russians actually control and which ones they're just in and watching. But they're there. And this op-ed talks about how long it could take to clean it. They have to basically replace entire systems at the same time, keeping all these companies and agencies and the government afloat.
Functioning, yeah. It's a disaster. Guess who's not tweeted about it once or mentioned it once? Trump, of course. He's given them a green light to do this, and it's kind of problem. It's almost like it's the hacking equivalent of COVID. It's just so overwhelming that they'll have to change their entire operations. And like in the meantime, guess what? Like Russia could do. It can, you know, if it want to, fake government emails. In some cases, probably have access to give orders inside the system. This is not like 2016. This is far beyond 2016. This is not going to rely on the media to like launder like emails they stole. They're actively in there, can actively change things. We just don't know what things they can change yet.
And, you know, the fact that, you know, it takes years to do this. Well, those are the years that they got under this administration, which completely backed off, you know, basically holding Russia accountable for cyber threats in the past. But also like kind of dismantling the cybersecurity kind of like community.
What was that tweet from 2017 when Trump is like, Putin and I are going to start like a elite?
Yes.
Cybersecurity unit.
A joint
my
one.
God. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I guess they did in a way.
Yeah, I mean, this happened with the complicity of the Trump. You know, somebody tweeted that, oh, he's compromised. No, he's not compromised. He's complicit. He's okay with this. I really don't think he's bothered. Although, you know, part of me wonders if he's like, shit, I didn't think my friend would do this to me, but I'm not really sure anymore. If he's actually not okay with it. Because you know what? You're talking about where he could go. I think he could get out of here. I think he could go to the Gulf.
Need to do that.
He could go to Russia. You don't think he could go?
He'd probably choose that. I mean, I'm sure he's got friends everywhere if he needed to. That's not going to be a problem. Like, I think for Trump, it's possibly just that admitting this happened would be weakness on his part. It'd be him losing again. So even aside from the Russia angle, like, regardless of who it is, he can't acknowledge that it happened and how much of a disaster it was.
I mean, I feel like we're very close to him actually saying, oh, it's fake news. This didn't really happen. Because I can totally see him doing that. Or him saying maybe it was China. We don't know that it's Russia.
I'm surprised he hasn't done it yet already.
Yeah. you know, which makes me think about the fact that this guy is going to be leaving office totally embittered and vengeful and holding so many state secrets, right?
But is he really? Because we know that, like, from his interviews and whatnot, when he talks about things he's learned them from Fox 95% of the time. So, I'm less concerned about that. He literally uses the intel he gets from Fox News, like, he is not paying attention to the good shit. So that one, I mean, I'm sure there's a thing or two he's picked up along the way, but...
Maybe, yeah. By the way, I just got to mention this. Did you read the article that came out last week? It was in the Jerusalem Post, which, you know, is a reputable paper. It's not like the Inquirer here.
Unless the aliens have a bunch of really hyper-cold freezers they can offer us, I don't give a shit.
Oh, my God. But listen, this guy was a general in the Israeli army who was like the head of like whatever division, kept an eye on the universe. And he's like, hell yes, there is the Galactic Federation. It's the most amazing name. He's like, there's something called the Galactic Federation. There's aliens. And Trump knows it. And we have had to convince Trump to like keep his mouth shut because he really wanted to like publicly disclose it.
That is impossible to believe. Not a chance he kept his mouth close for that. I mean, but you also have Brennan and like Harry Reid are still out there making noises about this. I gotta say, personally speaking, I really hope there are no aliens, or at least they never come to Earth, because I will 100% become like an ET denier. Like, the COVID deniers ain't seen nothing yet. If that happens, I will be like the last one still manning social media. It's all fake. There are no aliens.
Susan, here's my fear. If the aliens come, you're going to be one of those people they're going to want to study. They're going to be like her. We want to know how her brain
works.
Well,
I'll be in denial about it the whole time, so it's okay.
You won't even know what's happening.
Yeah. All right. Aliens, we are busy right now. Just like, at the very least, hold off like 2 or 3 years.
Well, they are. Because apparently, according to this report, according to this guy's interview, and apparently he wrote a whole book about it, he's like, the aliens are like, look, listen, humans are not ready for us. We're just not ready.
It would never work out. It just would not be a good fit. Like, can you imagine humans like trying to collectively like acknowledge a superior race? It's not going to happen. Like, it's just for the best that we just go our own ways.
Yeah. It wouldn't unify us. We'd just be a hot mess. There would be. It
like,
would just
give
be
us
one
some
of those
cool alien animals. I want that. Like, I would drop some off and then get on your way, and I'll call it even.
All right. There would be the resistors, and then there'd be, like, the people who joined the aliens, and it would just be really... we're not reliable allies to each other. But I got to talk about this, too, because I think this is insane. So apparently this story broke a couple days ago. The Dutch prosecutors confirmed that Donald Trump's Twitter account was hacked in October.
Wait, that's real?
Yeah,
that's that password? Uh-huh. I saw that. I thought it was a joke. Oh, my God.
That's what the guy who broke into the account, his name was Victor Jevers or Geevers or something, like, he broke in his account, the one that's at Real Donald Trump, on October 16th. He just guessed his password, and the password was MAGA 2020. But
I seriously saw this, and I was like, okay, interesting parody. Okay. No,
that's what he's reporting. That's what he said. But he, I guess, under Dutch law, they have, like, something called ethical hacking, and that you don't face charges if you do that, because he disclosed it immediately. And he did not do anything with the hack. I mean, like, I feel like it was a missed opportunity, but, you know. that's the state of our cybersecurity in the country.
What if he seriously, if anyone, like, if he did it, I mean, anyone else could have. They could have gotten in there with MAGA 2020 ! And then tweeted, "I am nuking, I don't know, Greenland right now."
Right.
What would have happened? Jesus.
Yeah, or, I mean, Greenland might, like, hold off, but if he says, "I'm nuking, like, North Korea," we might have a bigger problem.
Yeah, that'd be the worst.
All right. What else? Anything else, Susan? That's what was on my radar for the last week.
Well, we have Flynn, who, you know, unsurprisingly, has now been pardoned.
Right.
I'm kind of surprised he's not done more pardons. He has really left himself, like, what, 4 weeks now to, like, a huge rush of them? I assume they're coming.
They're coming.
They have to be coming.
You know what he's doing? What he's doing is he's going to make people work for them. He's not, you know what I mean? He's holding out until he gets what he wants. He's going to try to extract as much as he can from anybody he's going to pardon before he issues the pardons.
Yeah.
That's my theory. Now, is
so
he
basically,
issue...
if you're in Trump world, just go kill someone real quick and get that, like, locked in there at the pardon. Kill them on federal land, just to be careful here, you know.
Right. And whether or not he's going to, I mean, there were reports that he has been asking about how to, like, whether he should pardon his children in advance.
For what? I want to see, like, the bullshit one with Flynn is he did the whole massive expansion of, like, everything that was ever touched by the Mueller investigation, essentially. Or actually, no, even touched by any kind of grand jury. Mm. So all the, like, the bribery stuff he definitely did, that's included. His Foreign Agent Restriction Act stuff is also included in there. But for, like, Ivanka and Don Jr. and Eric, he could do the same thing, but that wouldn't include, like, stuff they did for Trump.org. So just, like, doing the blanket Mueller-related stuff pardon ain't going to cut it for them.
Do you have to specify what they're being pardoned for?
Well, yeah, you can't just do... Well, I guess theoretically he could do a pardon for all crimes committed before this date.
Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, I mean, I can
but
see.
But they have to accept responsibility. I mean, a pardon is if you accept the pardon, you're admitting guilt.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
what are you admitting guilt for?
Right, but that's not stopping. I mean, Flynn is on his victory tour, right? I mean, like, right now he's out there, like, going on and on. I mean, like, so this past weekend there was, like, a march in D.C., a march of Trump supporters who are there, like, saying we're going to fight this fraudulent election.
Stop the steal.
Stop the steal, right? That's what it's called. And Flynn showed up there. He has no shame. I mean, like, for him, there's no, like, oh, I admitted guilt as part of this. That's just, like, a whatever. I don't think that would stop him. I mean, if Trump was smart, what he would do would be like, Pence, I'm letting you take over so you can pardon me just to cover my bases. But that's never going to happen.
Well, Roger Stone, he did actually insist on a commutation, not a pardon.
Oh, okay.
For that reason. Kind of technical distinction, but... Well, I'm sure he'll get to it. So that'll be interesting, I guess. I mean, at this point, you know, the least of our concerns, because, yeah, well, we got the pandemic raging to a new unheard of levels, and we got this hack that's, like, crippled our government infrastructure for God knows how long. And we've got half the country who doesn't believe in democracy anymore. So
yeah,
fun you know, times.
The hack. What the other thing I realized about this hack is like, not only are they able to control things and pop into, you know, all the, they can see all these emails for all these agencies. I mean, just imagine the amount of like, how people individually would be compromised, right? Like if there are people who have, right? This is like, you know, we talk about
I am way less concerned about that. That's really? Sure, they'll have that kind of stuff. But like most of it's government records anyway. So like, that's not the real concern. The real concern is they can start faking stuff and just destroy whatever trust remains in institutions. They could just severely undermine our ability to believe in our own government because
they could probably destroy records. They could probably delete shit. Add shit. I mean, like, it's crazy. Yeah. But I keep thinking about, like, how Lindsey Graham, you know, everybody's like, there must be something on him because he couldn't have done such a 180. Although I don't think that's true. But, you know. That's just who he is. Yeah. But, you know, look, when you have an administration like this already, we know, like, Redfield's trying to, like, delete shit. Yeah, there might be stuff in there that can further compromise for the compromise folks. All right. Well, that's it for me. I'll be honest. I am paying a little bit less attention to the news since the election because it's been a long ass 4 years, Susan.
It has been the longest ass of 4 years, I'm pretty sure.
So that's why, in case we missed something, sorry guys. Susan, if there's anything else you want to talk about that I might have missed, then
you know what? Trump deserves less of our attention now because all he can do is sit there and whine. We still got to, you know, watch out for his whining a little bit for the next 4-ish weeks, but we can move on. We can spend a whole week at times not thinking about the presidency for too long. God willing.
God willing. He, his tweets are being flagged by Twitter. And actually a few days ago, what Twitter did was they only did this for like about 3 hours where they disabled the ability to retweet him or to even like the tweets. They did it for like 3 hours and then they opened it back up. I don't know why, but probably because Kushner got on the phone. But
the thing is, his tweets don't matter anymore. Like he's tweeted all the crazy stuff he can tweet. There's no crazy limits. Other than like starting to nuke someone, like no one's going to listen to anything he says. It's all nonsense. Everyone knows it's nonsense. No one believes it. I mean, his followers do, but like he's not adding anything new there. I mean, you could make a bot at this point that just generated the same fraud election. Watch OAN. See how much illegals voted. That's all going to be.
One tweet that I do want to talk about actually before we pop off is that he tweeted just a couple of days ago. It was like a clear threat, basically, about the Georgia runoff election on January 5th. He was like, you know, I can't remember. I got to find the tweet. But basically, he was talking about Georgia Secretary of State and Kemp. And he was like, well, you know, I can't remember the language of it, but he actually was like, you know, it's kind of an or else, like, either you seat our own electors or else, like, you know, like don't, or else this.
What's the else?
It was about he actually mentioned the runoff. He said something that something would either he wouldn't support it or like there would be a repercussion. I can't remember what it was, but it was a clear threat. And I mean, again, we are seeing a lot of
less than clear threat, but definitely a threat.
it was a threat. I don't know what he can do is the thing, other than basically tell people don't vote. He can easily tell his base don't vote.
I guess he could. Yeah. But like, would he? I don't even, why would he do that?
Why wouldn't he do that? Because he believes in punishing people. He doesn't care about like his party. He doesn't have party loyalty. He doesn't care about anybody but himself. Yeah. So he's totally vengeful and he would do that. And right now he's got nothing left to fight for. And if he wants to run in 2024, he's like, I'm not going to need these idiots. I don't need them. They need me.
I found the tweet. What a fool Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia is. Could have been so easy, but now I got to do it the hard way. Demand this clown call a special session, open up SIG verification now. Otherwise could be a bad day for two great senators. So that's not necessarily him threatening. He's saying that it's going to be a fraudulent election if Kemp doesn't do something.
I mean, what's the hard way? That sounds like a threat to me. That's something. God. But he's such a thug.
I'm so ready for him to be gone.
He's such a fake thug. He's not even a real thug.
He's a fake. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a whiner on Twitter. That's all he is. That's all he'll be.
Yeah. More of the same. That's all we got. We will have, I think, one more. Do we have any more episodes this year? Or are we going to be back in January?
We'll be back, I think. We'll see.
We'll see.
Check the schedule.
You guys are going to hear from us a few more times before we wrap this shit up. Okay, Susan. Well, have a good holiday. In case I don't talk to you guys out there, please stay safe. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Stay hunkered down. A few more months, we can get through this.
Just hold out, and then we'll all go party. It's fine. Just hang in there. A few more months, guys.
2022 is going to be a great party year.
2021. Oh, yeah. Spring break the whole fucking year.
Exactly. All right, guys. We'll see you in a few days. All right. Thanks, Susan.
Bye.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.